Before we begin, this podcast is a place of acceptance, diversity, and respect.
This podcast respects all aspects of people, including race, ethnicity, gender expression, sexual orientation, socioeconomic background, age, religion, and ability.
That being said, let us begin.
What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
I'm JP. That's Tim. This is the Positive Truth. We do uplifting and positive news every Monday and Wednesday. On Fridays, we talk about an issue, what the issue is, why it's an issue, facts about it, how you can change it for the better. Well, we have a wonderful interview, like this Friday, so 2 days from now, we have an interview with Adam Salanti of CARE Oklahoma, where he talks about the discrimination and fears and fights that people of Islam faith have to go through in America, and what him, Adam, does, and CARE does to prevent that and help people of the Islamic faith get through the persecution that they face through Americans every single day. It's a really informing interview. He conquers a lot of, I guess, myths about like Muslim all being terrorists and all that. He talks about his experience growing up. It's pretty great.
Man, it sounds pretty awesome. And this comes out this Friday, right, JP?
This Friday.
All right, just making sure everybody heard, you know?
Oh, man. Tim, how are you today?
I am sleepy. This rain makes me want to, like, stay in bed and just chill and watch Netflix or something.
Did you get your run in today?
Oh, no. I barely walked out here to the living room, man.
Well, I'm in a good mood. Well, for Twitter reasons, which shall not be named. Let's just say Twitter is funny sometimes. Twitter is very funny.
We have another Twitter fingers victim. That's all that it is.
Anyways, let's get to this uplifting and positive news stories. We have six of them. Do you want me to start, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I have a story about a Texas woman who used her coupon skills to basically help Hurricane Harvey victims.
That's what's up.
So her name is Kimberly, Gager.
Another day on the Positive Truth.
G-A-G-E-R. I didn't want to say Gagger because I know that's not it. So I'm going to say Gager.
Okay, I'm with it.
She's from San Antonio, and she admits she has a couponing addiction, right?
Right, right.
But whenever Hurricane Harvey happened, she was like, yo, I can put my addiction to good use. So she put like all her coupons together and bought all of these supplies. She bought a garage full, Tim, of like diapers, like tissue paper, Dawn soap, like soaps, all of the stuff like you need to like have a normal life. And she's sending it to Hurricane Harvey victims. She's just like, hey, you need any of this stuff? Like, I got you. Like, I'm sending it to you. And that's all she's doing, man.
That is dope. That's dope, man. I now that she's saying she has a problem couponing, she's making it and turning it into good use, man. It's pretty dope.
Is it even a problem if you're giving it away, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to find the problem, so it's hard for me to say it. So it's like, you know what? Like, she's a hero. No ifs, ands, and buts about it.
There's a picture of her with, like, three, like, huge, like, Target shopping carts worth of just stuff, like diapers and, like, tissues and all the other stuff, toilet paper. And she's just sending it out, man. And, like, she says half of it's gone, but she still has 50%. She's just, like, waiting to send it in the right direction. And she's just gonna keep on supplying it. I don't feel like this might never stop. Once you get that giving back bug, it just you just keep giving?
I feel like it's a very good bug to have, man.
I know, it's the opposite of the flu.
Exactly, exactly. It's pretty dope, man.
Absolutely.
Man, yeah, go ahead.
Keep going, Tim.
No, I'm just saying, it was leading me right into my story.
Okay.
So, we were talking about Hurricane Harvey, and this is a follow-up, actually, but you know how J.J. Watt, before he said he took Kevin Hart's challenge and said he wasn't going to donate $10,000, he was going to donate $10 million because we do everything bigger in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his charity ended up raising a little over $37 million.
What?
For help for flood relief, man. It ended this past Friday, and yeah, a little over $37 million is what they raised. So shout out to J.J. Watt, man.
That's almost a dumbfounding number. What is his, like, how did they set this up?
J.J. Watt's a professional football player. Plays for the Houston Texans, and, you know, he donated the first $10 million, and he teamed up with his organization and with other people. They ended up raising a little over $37 million, and they were just going to work. They have trucks. There's a picture actually right here with trucks full of diapers and looks like clothes for people in need, man. They just went to work.
Did people just donate on his, I guess, donation? Does he have a website?
Yeah, he has a website, and I believe they also had a GoFundMe as well.
GoFundMe. In America, GoFundMe. Or the healthcare for people that don't have it.
In all reality, yeah. Hashtag 2017.
I don't know if that was depressing or encouraging. Anyway. That's amazing, though. Like, that just shows you the power of influence of celebrity, that you can get $27 million raised in a few weeks.
That is, man. That is, for sure. I mean, he has a lot of power being who he is in Texas, but, man, to get that many people to get involved and help out, there's actually a picture at the bottom of this link that I'm actually going to post to the Facebook page, but it's like a warehouse full of stuff, and it just tells you, it just shows, you know, how many people were involved to get all that stuff there and to help all these people in need.
Absolutely.
I didn't see this picture before. My bad, guys.
It's all good, Tim. It is all good. Well, my next positive news story is not about the hurricane. It's about a Michigan State University survey, or I guess survey, scientific research study. It's not really positive news, but I think it's positive news. So what they did is they took psychology researchers named Hans Schroeder. I'm almost positive I actually said that right.
It sounded good to me.
Well, he did brain scans of people that he found were like chronic worriers. And what he did is he had them, the chronic worriers, whenever they were doing the brain scan, he would have them write down like what they were worrying about. Like, he would just be like, be as descriptive as possible. He called it, use an E word to describe it. Expressive writing. And what he found was it cools the brain off. He says worrying takes up cognitive resources. It's kind of like people who struggle with worry are constantly multitasking. They're doing one task while trying to monitor and suppress the worries at the same time. He says it's draining, and you're not going to be as good at the task you're doing because you're constantly worrying. But he says our findings show that to get your worries out of your head through expressing writing, those cognitive resources are freed up to work towards the task you're completing, and you're much more efficient. So, like, we have actual scientific research. I mean, it's just one study, but, I mean, that's a pretty fun study. That if you're feeling really bad about your worries, just write them down, and it helps. And I just think it's positive for anyone that's struggling with worry out there.
For sure, man. I appreciate you sharing that story. I'm definitely going to have to try that out, too, when I get stressed out and stuff.
Absolutely. Tim, what are you stressing about, if you care to share?
I'm definitely stressing about my cross-country season right now, man. Just keeping these kids eligible, keeping them out of trouble. But we're at a good point in the season right now. Things are starting to come together.
Oh, that sounds like a parent problem.
Yeah, yeah. I feel kind of old sometimes, man. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah, man, you can't help those. I mean, you can't help those kids, but you're doing a good job, Tim. Doing a good job.
I'm trying, man. I'm definitely trying.
What do you have, Tim?
Well, man, I got a pretty cool story coming out of New Jersey. You know how we did an episode over opiates early on in the year? And Governor Chris Christie will announce this week $200 million in new initiatives to target the opiate crisis, primarily designed to overhaul addiction services as he makes a final push on the issue. He hopes that this will define his legacy, and this is how he'll be remembered for the rest of, you know, his life and his children's lives. I think it's a pretty cool thing that he's doing, because $200 million is a lot of money, and to fight opiates where he's from, which in New Jersey, it's killing a lot of people. It was estimated it killed more than 2,000 people in 2016 alone. Ooh. So, exactly. So they decided they have a plan, and there was among more than 2,000 plans that they had altogether, and they definitely narrowed it down, but they separated the money a little bit. Like $40 million will go towards establishing an initiative-based treatment program for those without insurance or Medicaid. The Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services will use $36 million to provide housing and support for adults with substance abuse disorders. Nearly $35 million will go toward several programs supporting opiate addiction mothers, their babies, and broader families. I mean, it just continues like that. And I mean, it sounds like an amazing idea, and I hope it goes through and pushes through, because we definitely need something for opiate addictions here in the United States. I feel like it's getting ignored. And even though we had an episode over it, I feel like not enough people saw it. So if you haven't watched our episode over opiates, go back and check it out.
Absolutely. I have one question. Did they pass a, like, how did he get $200 million? Did they vote for it?
I have it right down here. Sorry. I don't want to give you like some BS. No. I'm just professional.
Because $200 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't
and
know.
It doesn't just fall from the sky.
Absolutely. Trust me, I had it. It gave me a direct answer.
Okay, you look for it, and I'll talk about my next one.
Yeah, go ahead. Got you.
Okay, so me and Tim, we really love parks. Tim especially, he likes the cold camping scene. And again,
sure,
this is more like science is cool with the positive truth. This is just JP couldn't find that many traditional positive news stories, so I was just finding ones I really liked that I read. And this one is about basically the first international dark sky reserve in the United States. It's going to be in Idaho. And they put in the reserve plan for 1,400 square miles in central Idaho as part of dark sky territory. The locals basically, they all were almost unanimous on the decision. And the idea is it's going to be the like one of only 11 other dark sky reserves in the world. The closest one in the Americas being in Quebec, Canada. And it's going to be exactly what it sounds like. It's going to be a place with low light pollution where people can go, like a night park, and check out the stars. And I live in the city, so this is why I thought this was really cool. Like, don't really see the stars too much when you live in the city. And I just stay in Oklahoma City, where there's not much, I would say, light compared to like New York or Chicago or LA or Vegas. So this idea of like a park where the only thing you do is you go and look at the stars, and they pick this section because it's one of the best places in America to look at the Milky Way, I think it's really cool, and I just wanted to talk about it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I didn't get to hear everything because I definitely got lost in this. it sounded pretty awesome to me, man.
Did you find it, though?
Yeah, dude, this is money they had in their accounts already. This is just money he's making sure this stuff gets taken care of. Like, this is ridiculous. Everything that I'm reading right now, he's basically talking to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's actually even supporting this. So, I mean, my bad. It just caught me off guard when I heard something, you know, positive in Donald Trump. It just, you know, it rarely happens. So when it does happen, it's like, woo!
Speaking of Twitter fingers...
Oh, man, what did this dude do?
No, he's always tweeting.
Sure. I definitely, I saw something this weekend, him swinging a golf club or something like that, and I was like, this dude is ridiculous.
But yeah, so they had $200 million just sitting in their New Jersey like government federal funds that they weren't allocating to anything.
Well, I think they were allocating to different things, and he's basically been pushing towards fighting opiates. So he finally won, I guess, with all of his people, and now it's all going that way, man.
They don't have to vote for it. Usually, when you change the allocation of funds, you have to vote for it as a state.
It didn't go into in depth at all with them voting for it, but it sounded like they are voting for it because it says that he's already put millions towards it. And this up in the next coming weeks, he's about to announce everything that he plans on doing, and he says it's going to be about $200 million, but it's worth it. Nice. This is stuff that it has to be done.
Well, hopefully that vote goes through, and hopefully he's taking it away from isn't detrimental to society on a whole.
Yeah, like, let's not take it away from education, guys.
What else do you have, Tim?
I got one more story about an 8-year-old boy. He actually rescued 5 people from sea in just 2 days. So he's from Newquay, Wales. His name is Stefan Williams, or Stefan, probably. So Stefan, he lives near a popular area where tourists like to come and stuff, and it's like a little paradise, pretty much what his family describes it. And he often paddles close to shore on his kayak, right? And his mom watches him from the beach, so it's not a big deal. The kid's really good in water as well. So you know, he was riding his kayak, and he noticed there's this rock, and he noticed there was 3 tourists huddled on the rock, no boat or anything near there. So he fetched his rubber dinghy, and he towed the 3 people back to the shore. So then 2 days later, he's doing the exact same thing near this exact same rock. He sees 2 people on this rock, no boat or anything like that, just kind of stuck, and they're whistling and waving to get his attention, and he obviously gets it. So he does the exact same thing and helps them back to shore. Now, the reason why these people keep getting stuck on this rock is that this area, these tourists don't really know. All these people that keep getting stuck on this rock are tourists, because what it is, they walk on the beach and they don't realize that the tide is coming back. So they're walking on this beach that they think there's no water coming, and then all of a sudden a wave comes and they're stuck right there. And they can't really get back, so they hold on to this rock until somebody can save them. And this kid knows that it happens, you know, often, and he just happened to be in this right spot at the right time for 2 days in a row, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy. That sounds like something that would happen to me.
I cannot imagine you on a rock like that. I couldn't, but it would be hilarious to see, as long as you were okay, of course.
I mean, I meant more like, oh, why is there water coming in? Oh, the tide. Oh, we should definitely run. Like, that seems like something that would happen to me.
I just pictured all that in my head while you were speaking. It was like a movie.
Do they not have signs talking about the tide?
In this article? No, I didn't have any.
I meant on the beach.
Oh, I have no idea, man. I'm assuming it did. You know, people probably aren't paying attention.
True.
They're looking at the beach like, oh, this is amazing. And then, oh, crap, we got to find something to float on because we can't swim.
See, this leads to all kinds of questions. I realize I don't know because I don't live anywhere close to a beach or just the ocean. So do tides come at the same time every single day all year round, or does it change because the moon like changes and the seasons change? It's not always in the same spot. You would think the tides wouldn't be like you could predict them if you looked at the stars and the moon, but do they come at the same time every single day?
I want to say no, because I feel like they're inconsistent, but I really don't know, JP. I couldn't tell you, man. Okay. I'm going to say no, though, as a guess.
Well, that's going to get Googled.
For sure.
But yeah, that's a crazy story. They definitely need a sign or two. At this beach, He was in a kayak?
Yeah, his kid was in a kayak, man.
How did he get three adults in a kayak with him without flipping it and then paddle back by himself?
No, he had like this rubber like floaty basically that he threw at them.
And then they grabbed onto it and he paddled back?
Yeah, man.
This kid Aquaman or something? That's not easy. How are you 8 years old tagging like carrying like 400 pounds behind you?
Well, see, his dad is like a basically not a lifeguard. What does his dad do? He wants to be just like his dad. And his dad basically works on water, saving people as well. So it's like it kind of goes hand in hand. It's pretty dope. His dad's like on a lifeboat crew.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the strength of an 8-year-old being able to pull three grown adults in a kayak.
And I don't think it'd be that hard, man. It's in water. You know, everything's like way easier in water.
Have you ever done a kayak before?
Yeah, man, in the ocean too. I did it in the Dominican Republic and in Mexico.
Okay, so I'm going to tell my kayaking story. At least I think it was a kayak. It might have been a canoe. This is 8th grade. I got sent off to survival camp. And yes, it was as bad as it sounds. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right, go for it.
And so, like, it was like this church thing. And it's like the first day we're like doing all these tests to see if we can swim and all this other stuff. And then that night I sprained my ankle for the first time ever. And you know, I was a little traumatic as an 8th grader. I was only like 5 foot tall, a little small. Like I broke my ankle. But yeah, I didn't actually break it, so it was sprained. So the next day we have to carry this canoe all the way to the bottom. And like we have to like steer it together. And like, yo, it was not easy. Like, not easy to get it going, not easy for, like, two people to work in harmony. And then we had to go, like, a quarter of a mile, half a mile, canoeing in this hot Oklahoma sun. And I can't imagine dragging an extra 400 pounds behind me.
Oh, man, you have, like, the worst wilderness experiences ever.
Oh, that was not the worst part of that wilderness experience. That was the best part of that wilderness experience. That is a whole other story for a whole other time. That was literally the best part of that whole experience, was the experience of like doing the canoe, because once we got to the actual spot, it got worse. But that's another story for another day. Only positive news today.
Man, well, let me tell you about my canoe stories, man. Our canoe stories, kayak stories. My kayak stories were chill. Like, the first time I ever got on one, couldn't figure it out too much. But the second time, it was really easy. Like, once you picked up momentum, it's just a nice little rhythm that you have, and it's chill.
Yeah, but can you imagine carrying three people behind you? You think that would be easy, Tim?
I mean, not easy, but, like, I could see it getting done for sure.
This kid is 8.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, for sure. I would have got exhausted. You're right.
I'm just saying, like, that's super impressive.
You're absolutely right. This kid is Aquaman. I'm with it.
Okay. I found the tide answer. So tides, there are two tidal bulges every lunar day. Two high and two low tides. It happens every 24 hours and 50 minutes. So they're 12 hours and 25 minutes apart, the high tides. So yeah, you can't put a time on that. Because it's not going on a 24-hour cycle. It's going on a 24-hour, 15-minute cycle.
I hear that.
Warning, high tides might happen while you're walking. But don't worry, we have Aquaman here to save you. He's only 8, so he's only getting better.
And we don't pay him, so he does this out of the kindness of his heart.
Amazing. What a Wednesday. This is the positive truth. We're usually not this rambly, but yeah.
Today's been fun. True story. I noticed we are rambling, aren't we? We're sorry, guys.
Do you want me or you to tell us about the our social media platforms, Tim?
I have a quote, so you can go ahead and knock out the social media platforms.
Okay, I just want to say this is all in the description, so I just realized that a couple of weeks ago. We're just basically repeating it. So yeah, if you didn't read the description, or you're driving and you want to be safe, good for you. Don't look at the description. Positive, Facebook at the Positive Truth Podcast, Twitter at TPT_podcast, Instagram at the Positive Truth, Gmail at the Positive Truth at gmail.com. Yeah, check us out. Hit that subscribe button, like, share, leave a 5-star review. We got t-shirts. We've already talked about them too much. We'll talk about them another time.
I got you, JP. I got you.
What do you? What quotes do you have?
I just have a quote by Muhammad Ali. Don't count the days. Make the days count. You guys have a good Wednesday.
Nice. We're out.
Stay positive.